From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
Welcome to the program. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, just blocks away from our state capitol, where this past week we witnessed one of the most unprecedented debates and really a policy failure in the state legislature. This past week, we saw issues of Title X and abortion funding with taxpayer dollars, state budget bill, human trafficking, education choice, and even casinos all colliding this one week, which is a great example of why we do this program at Nebraska Family Alliance to connect people to the Capitol and the policy decisions that are being made by elected officials that have a real impact on our churches, families, and communities. And so we're going to start the show today at the top with the biggest news, which was the legislature's failure to pass the budget bill from select file on to final reading. Every bill has to go through three rounds, and right now it is stuck. After coming out of committee 9-0, passing through first round, it is now stuck on the second round of voting. And this is critical because this is the budget bill, the one constitutional requirement and obligation that state senators have is to pass the budget. And right now it has stalled. And the reason it stalled was because a minority group of senators are so dedicated to continuing to send your taxpayer dollars to fund abortion clinics that they sunk the entire state budget bill that funds all of our state programs that are critical. It's jeopardizing child welfare programs and might even lead to a special session at the end of all this. So a lot of people have been asking questions about what is going on and what's going to happen next. So again, at the heart of this issue is taxpayer funding of abortion. The state budget bill has a small provision in a very long bill that would provide additional separation and accountability requirements in our Title X program, which is tax dollars that the state gets every year to distribute to health clinics for family planning and preventative services. This money is not to be used to fund abortion. However, the number one recipient of these taxpayer funds in Nebraska is Planned Parenthood of the Heartland. And currently, there is no separation or accountability to these funds, so much, in fact, that a state auditor's report in 2015 found that 6%, or more than one out of every $20, was in fact being misappropriated and directly used to fund abortion services, which is a violation of federal law. That jeopardizes the entire Title X program for the state of Nebraska. So there's a provision in the state budget bill that would change how the state distributes those funds to make sure that taxpayer money is only going to clinics that do not perform, assist with, directly counsel in favor of, or refer for abortion, unless, and this is the key, unless they are abiding by separation requirements so that the finances and the buildings are separate. So basically, so there's no confusion over whether you're walking into or giving money to an abortion clinic or a Title X clinic. So no one is cut out. Everyone is still eligible to receive this funding, and there's no cut. The same amount of money for Title X is still available. We're just making sure it doesn't subsidize the abortion industry, and this caused senators to filibuster the entire state budget bill, which is unprecedented. That a budget bill gets out of committee unanimously and then doesn't pass through the body. Nebraska Family Alliance issued a press release last week responding to legislators' failure to advance the state budget bill, in which Karen Bowling, executive director for Nebraska Family Alliance, said that the message is clear. Senators who voted against the bill prioritized sending taxpayer funds to abortion clinics over passing a budget. the devotion of a minority of senators to abortion clinics who refuse to separate their Title X services from abortion activity is out of touch with the majority of Nebraskans. State senators have an obligation to pass a budget, and filibustering a bill that advanced from the Appropriations Committee 9-0 is not only unprecedented, but not in line with the values of our state. Governor Ricketts also released a strong statement on Friday afternoon, again after legislators failed to advance the budget bill, and Governor Ricketts said, "By filibustering the mainline budget, some state senators are putting vital state services for our children at risk. Because of an influx of children into our child welfare system, funding will run out in May. It is absolutely critical that the legislature move the budget forward, which contains new child welfare spending, and get it to my desk. With only days left in session, the clock is ticking." Strong words, and appropriately so, because the governor is right, the clock is ticking. This is a short session. The senators only have 60 working days. And Monday is going to be day 49 to get this budget through, as well as all of the other bills that they're trying to debate. And this is threatening to clog up the entire process, potentially lead to a special session, and ultimately leave important, vital programs unfunded because they could not get this budget bill through. So the big question in all of this, of course, is what happens next? And it's important to remember that right now, neither side of this debate, the strong majority of senators who support the pro-life Title X language and voted to fund the government and advance the bill are still holding strong. It has been made very clear that that Title X language is not leaving the budget bill after multiple attempts. So although some senators who are being obstructionists to the state budget bill have so far successfully prevented that bill from advancing, they're also causing a lot of harm, and they have failed to remove that Title X language. So senators who want the language out don't have the votes to take it out, and right now we are 2 votes short of the 33 necessary to advance the bill off of second round to final reading and get it to the governor's desk. So now a lot of this hinges on the Speaker of the Legislature, Jim Scheer, and what he decides to do. He controls the schedule, and when things are debated, he can choose to bring this bill back and hopefully try and work with senators on this to find a way to get those 2 remaining votes. He could schedule it every single day and force votes on it, or he could refuse to schedule it again, and senators would go into a special session. And the way things were left on Friday, it remains unclear at this point what exactly is going to happen with this moving forward. It's not over, that is for sure. So pro-life Nebraskans should be encouraged to know that a strong majority of senators are holding together, standing strong on this issue. And really, it's a very small minority who are refusing to advance this budget. And we will keep everyone updated as this issue continues to move forward. So be sure to visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. We have everything you need to know about Title X, about taxpayer funding of abortion, and what's going on in the state legislature. So be sure to visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. You can also like NFA on Facebook and get daily updates there. There's a lot happening right now, a lot that's happened this past week in the last 48 hours, and much that will happen in the next 48 hours as well. This past week was also historic because we heard the first school choice debate in our state legislature in decades. It has been at least more than 20 years, potentially a lot longer, since the full legislature has taken up a bill to create greater choice in education. This was LB 295, introduced by Senator Smith and prioritized by Senator Linehan, who has been a guest on this show. And that made for a very critical educational moment for senators to get informed on this issue, what exactly a scholarship tax credit is that would be created under this bill to help low and middle income families be able to send their child to the school of their choice that better meets the unique needs of that child. This is not about public schools versus private schools or one being better than the other. It's about making sure that every single child in Nebraska gets the opportunity to attend the school that best suits their educational needs, regardless of their family's income. So the bill in question, LB 295, assists low-income and working-class students with scholarship opportunities by incentivizing private donors to give to scholarship-granting organizations, which is fantastic because this doesn't take away any funds from public schools. It's all private dollars being given to scholarships for kids to then go to the school that best suits their needs. Because while we know that private schools and churches are doing their best to financially assist every child who is seeking a private education, we also know that the need for scholarships in order to do that heavily outweighs the supply. So LB 295 helps create more scholarship opportunities to fill this need. And this is so important because parents have the fundamental right to choose a school for their children that corresponds to their own convictions, and parents should have the liberty in their choice of schools for their kids. And this, of course, unsurprisingly turned into a major fight and filibuster on the floor. The bill had a lot of proponents, a lot of really strong support in the body for this bill and for creating more education and choice. It was debated both late into the evening on Thursday night and then as well on Friday. There was one vote taken to indefinitely postpone the bill, which is a kill motion on the bill, and that vote came up well short. It was 9-19, so 9 senators voted in favor of tabling the bill. However, the legislature adjourned before voting on the bill itself, and due to a practice that has been implemented by the speaker, when a bill is being filibustered, they debate it for a few hours, and then the introducer of that bill has to demonstrate that they have the 33 votes needed to overcome a filibuster before it will be scheduled for debate again. So some really important policies and pieces of legislation sort of hanging in the balance right now, both with the Title 10 provision in the state budget to eliminate taxpayer subsidies of abortion clinics and LB 295 to create greater choice and freedom in education. And both of those items still have an opportunity to be debated again. It isn't clear right now when that might be or if it will happen for sure, but it's not over. And one easy thing that everyone can do is contact their state senator, and it really is easy. A quick phone call or an email, it can take you less than 2 minutes. If you visit NebraskaLegislature.gov, you can find your senator, or at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, you can give them a call, send them an email. They respond, they track everything, they get every contact, and it makes a huge difference because their job is to represent the people of their district. And when multiple constituents start contacting them, asking them to vote for their values and let them know that you're paying attention, it makes a difference. We've seen it time and time again, and perhaps now more than ever, in order to secure this historic pro-life initiative in the state budget bill to finally end taxpayer subsidies of abortion clinics. We need people to contact their state senator, ask them to stand strong if they voted to advance the budget bill, and if they didn't, ask that they do their job as a legislator and pass the budget. It needs to happen. We need 2 more votes. It came out of committee unanimously, passed through first round. Nothing in it has changed since then. The Title 10 language isn't coming out. That much has been made very clear. Because just like the majority of senators, the majority of Nebraskans, and the majority of Americans, whether they are pro-life or pro-choice, agree that taxpayer money should not be going to fund abortion clinics. While we wait for the outcome of both of those proposals to become more clear, there was some good news this past week. Lawmakers did advance an important bill to assist victims of human trafficking by providing a procedure for victims to set aside convictions related to being trafficked. This was LB 1132. It passed unanimously 27-0. And under the bill, a victim of sex trafficking could file a motion to set aside a criminal conviction, such as prostitution, that came as a result of their trafficking. the person filing for that set-aside of a conviction would have to submit evidence providing that they were a victim of sex trafficking at the time that the crime was committed, that the court then takes into consideration. And if that set-aside is granted, it would nullify the conviction and remove all civil disabilities and disqualifications imposed as a result of the conviction. This is really important because, in order to help get somebody back on their feet, regain control of their life, and end a cycle of addiction or trafficking, they need to be able to find employment. And that is, of course, very difficult to do if they have these criminal charges that came as a result of being trafficked. So this is a great way to help victims of trafficking. Last year, the legislature passed a very strong anti-trafficking bill to significantly increase penalties for traffickers. So this has been sort of a 1-2 punch, going after the traffickers and increasing penalties, and this year coming back and finding ways to keep helping victims get the justice and help that they need and deserve. At the top of the show, I mentioned another issue that came up this week that dealt with casinos. Now, imagine for a moment the worst place you could think to build a casino. Maybe it's next to a school, maybe a high school. Maybe it's right next to a quiet neighborhood in the suburbs, maybe next to a treatment center, or maybe a daycare. Or how about within walking distance of one of the most vital homeless shelters in a major city? That is the exact scenario that our city, Omaha, is facing with the Carter Lake Casino proposal that so far continues to move forward, that calls for building a 2,000 slot machine casino in Carter Lake, Iowa, which is on Nebraska's side of the Missouri River, very close to the Omaha Airport, and also very close to the Open Door Mission, who serves 2,000 meals a day and several hundred beds for people who are homeless and living in poverty every single day. These are critical services for our most vulnerable and needy population. The exact population that casinos would thrive on and profit from, keeping people in cycles of addiction and brokenness. And until this past week, no one was really talking about this. It had been, of course, talked about in the news that there were plans moving forward to build a casino here, and that this came as a result from an unelected government commission in Washington, D.C., who said that the Ponca Tribe of Nebraska could move forward with their desire to build a casino on their land in Carter Lake. And so, with casinos, we always hear about increased tax revenue, and they're going to do all these fabulous things, and it'll bring in so much money that'll help so many people. And increased tax revenue and economic gain isn't even on the table in this situation for Nebraska, because not only is would the casino technically be in Iowa, even though it's on our side of the Missouri River, it also, because it would be a casino owned by the Ponca Tribe of Nebraska, the state can't tax it or regulate it. So neither Nebraska or Iowa would see any tax revenue from this, even though studies have time and time again proven that for every dollar, $1 received in tax revenue, casinos caused $3. And increase social costs. So there's a number of reasons to oppose casinos, but perhaps none more than the undeniable detrimental effect a major casino like this would have on one of our city's most vital ministries serving the poor. So this past week, Nebraska Family Alliance and the Open Door Mission both released statements standing up for the Open Door Mission and trying to protect the integrity and effectiveness of what they are doing, as well as the very vulnerable population that they are serving in our community. Citing studies that put the vulnerability of homeless people to problem gambling at up to 9 times that of the general population, Open Door Mission President and CEO Candace Gregory asked the Greater Omaha and Council Bluffs community to consider the human cost of an additional gambling establishment so close to a community hub for homeless people. Gregory says that the prevalence of problem gambling across homeless populations in America is documented and real. And part of the issue behind problem gambling is the proximity of gambling establishments to at-risk populations. Open Door Mission has seen an increase in problem gambling since casinos came to the area in 1996. That, of course, being the casinos in Council Bluffs. This casino would be even closer, substantially closer, within eyesight. So this is something that people really, really need to think about. And Nebraska's elected officials also need to take a hard look at this and do everything they possibly can to prevent this from happening, because there really is not a worse place a casino could be built than within walking distance of a major homeless shelter. And the current proposal for the casino in Carter Lake truly threatens to jeopardize the entire mission of the Open Door Mission, one of our city's most vital ministries. And with everything we know about casinos and gambling, and it's tremendously, overwhelmingly negative impact that it causes, particularly among low-income families and those who are homeless, this should be a no-brainer that this needs to be opposed. A casino on Carter Lake would exploit, without question, would exploit the most vulnerable members of our society. It would further lead to increases in crime, addiction, and broken families. And again, the typical ruse that we hear about increased tax revenue from casinos isn't even on the table. So Nebraska's and Iowa's elected officials need to stand with the Open Door Mission and protect the effectiveness of their mission and the vulnerable population that they are serving, as a sort of a reminder of everything that the Open Door Mission does for those who need it most on a daily basis. The Open Door Mission campus offers 816 shelter beds to homeless men, women, and children. They serve over 2,000 hot meals and provide preventative measures to more than 275 people living in poverty every day. And they really can't just, people can't expect them to just sit idly by and pretend like building a casino with 2,000 slot machines within walking distance of their campus wouldn't have terrible effects on what they're doing and for the families and the kids that they're serving. This has been an ongoing issue. We've seen it before, and we'll probably see it again. This is going to be an ongoing dispute. Thankfully, so far, the only person to step up to fight this has been actually the city of Council Bluffs. They have filed already a lawsuit to try and prevent this casino from being constructed in Carter Lake. This was attempted previously about 10 years ago and got overturned, and things have been in limbo quite literally for the last 9 years. And then all of a sudden this ruling comes from a government commission in Washington, D.C., who says that, yep, go ahead, build the casino. And so I will not be surprised at all if there are more lawsuits over this that tie it up and prevent this from happening. And again, all of this information about the proposal to put a casino in Carter Lake right next to the Open Door Mission is available at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for the e-network and get updates on the issues that you care about most, because as you can tell, there is no shortage of issues going on right now that directly affect family, freedom, and life. And we need more people to be informed about these issues and have the resources and information that they need to contact their elected officials to make a difference, to inform other people, and join the movement to advance family, freedom, and life here in Nebraska. We'll be back next week with updates on these issues and more. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connections.